This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire. Produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Lynch's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. No, was it? Bismarck was on it?
Liz Mark.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might see a shock wall.
Is that the shock master's wall?
Yeah, I like big dick myself. I'm just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
our
opener.
To do worse than Josh Richards.
Be what I want to be. If I work hard at it, I'll be where I want to be. Boys and girls, listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man
Place
with
to
HIV.
Nation. Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. Going to get you live on this Friday evening. Man, it's been a long time, Scott Criscola, since we've been here on a Friday evening. We're back on the infant schedule, I guess.
Yes,
so.
Yes, we are. We're kicking it old school. This is like 2012, I guess. Yeah. Pretty much. Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 361 of the Place to Be Podcast. We got our one of our great monthly network rewatches this evening, and actually pretty.
It's been a while
show.
Though since we've done this one. We had to skip it for a couple of things. So
yeah,
we're back at it though, and that is our Saturday night's main event. Live watch series. We'll be doing episode 5 from March 1st, '86, a big one leading into WrestleMania 2. Yep. So why don't we go ahead and bring in our crew, Scott, and we'll dive right into this bad boy.
Yes.
And then we can go ahead and do some talking. So let's start from the top here. We'll bring in the man who we saw down in Philly a couple weekends ago, drove down from Canada with his buddy Ivan, as our good friend Mr. Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
I am super. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we are great and always excited to talk to you, sir.
Good to have you,
baby. Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, okay. Let's also bring in our good friend, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, how are you?
What's up, Greeny?
TGIF, motherfuckers.
That's right. Here we go.
Live watching an episode of Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
There you go. Perfect strangers.
Full house.
And we have our giant-sized good friend, Mr. George Ribolino. How are you, sir?
How are you guys doing? I'm excited about this one tonight.
We're good. We're going to talk some Danny Cannell. We're going to talk some Tiki Barber, some Thunder and Lightning, a little Ron Dane.
You know what? Why not? While we're at it.
Freeman McNeil?
Yeah, I'm going to talk them all. So, also joining, we have a fifth guy in the house tonight. Wanted to drop in and join for our little live watch here. Said he's always up for one of these, so we went ahead and roped him in. That is the cowboy, Mr. Roger Marcet. How are you, sir?
Doing great, man. I'm a live watch guy. Can't wait.
That's right.
Good to have you on, cowboy.
Been part of a lot lately, so it's good to have you. Now, you'll have to check out this week's Sports Lounge as well, because I moonlighted over on that show, talked about the Super Bowl, and talked a little about where some of the teams are heading into next year. So that was me, Mr. Flanagan.
I'm sure you had some lovely things to say about the Patriots.
Hey, you know, I had some lovely things to say about the extra point.
You'll have to check it out. It's a must listen.
Uh-oh.
Some shots across the bow, Dr. G, after you and I actually did the initial salvo, so should be fun.
George, we were very objective, man. I mean, just right down the middle, objective. Good.
I'm sure.
Talked a lot of live with Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa. So, all right, why don't we get started?
Kick this off.
Everyone should be frozen on the first frame here. Looks like the close-up on a punching bag. And, of course, again, this is the March 1st, 86 episode of Saturday's Main Event, heading into WrestleMania 2. So is everyone on the call ready?
Let's do it.
So let's go ahead and get started in 3, 2. And, of course, Greeny will be our man with the audio.
Looking at Mr. T here, warming up as he has a boxing match tonight with Cowboy Bob Orton. Because that's where that the feud actually started then, because it was Cowboy Bob who was actually beginning the boxing storyline, not Piper. Mm-hmm. The Hot Rod was his manager. And if you remember on some Superstars and some wrestling challenges, he actually he was beating some stiffs, and that's what led us to this point. Of course, as we have the awesome open, which would have the obviously Greeny as usual. They've killed the animotion open and have like that music from what was it, like 90 or something.
Yeah, we got the traditional one from the one that began in 89 or 90.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're watching it live, as I was, and it was of course Animotion's Obsession, which you can always hear every other week at the beginning of Main Event. The show is from, and I remember this very well, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes,
is where this one was.
The original home of the Phoenix Suns, I believe.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was indeed.
Is that why Mr. T has like a gallon of sweat like dripping off of him?
But it is only February, so it may not be as. Of course, Vinnie Mac, complete with his awesome toupee, and the body with his great, looks like a 3-year-old made that jacket. But
that's a great jacket, though.
Describe that jacket in one sentence.
Abstract. Dr. G, you had one of those, right? With your ruffled shirt? Did you wear that to high school?
Without a doubt.
That's your art. That's your
that was
art
a big, wear down in Florida at the time.
That's right. Along with the beret and whatever that fucking pin thing is. What the hell is that? It looks like a dragonfly or something.
Goes along with his personalities because he's an absolute nut job. So
yeah, he has become a complete fucking lunatic now. But we have, I think, like 4 or 5 matches on the card. I don't know who they're probably. What are they talking about, Greeny?
They're talking about the boxing match right now, and that looks like it's going to be our opening matchup.
There we go. So, crowd in Phoenix, not really their cup of tea. Although Phoenix,
Vinny Mac with his little poof going on,
his little bad toupee going on. God, he had like the worst rugs. Here, looking at a pit from February. Piper and Orton,
Hogan, Cole, Bob Orton, boxing Bob Orton,
boxing Bob. So I'm guessing this is about the fight.
Yes,
Greeny, or is this pumping up? Okay, because. We know later on in the evening, Hulk Hogan defending the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship against the Magnificent Morocco.
Oh, what Piper was doing is that he was putting over that that Orton is a was an amateur boxer and that they want to challenge anybody. And Hogan came in and he said, "Well, I have somebody who wants to box you." And then that's Hogan said, "Mr. T." And
it's not Piper, Reno Riggins.
No, it's not Reno Riggins.
I wish it was Butterbean.
Or JYD's mom.
Hogan, hey, Hogan okay, just you wanna, wrote you Mr. T on the paper.
I always bring it up when you're on, Aaron. Mr. T's mom is not on, so there's no propositions tonight.
Piper absolutely despises Mr. T.
He does.
Yeah. Till his day.
Yep.
Oh, and they changed his name to Battling Bob Orton.
Battling Bob. Well, those are big-ass gloves. Holy shit.
I just love the animation of Roddy.
Yeah.
He's such a psycho.
Piper, I just love the juxtaposition of like the boxing gloves, the cowboy hat, and the leather tassels.
Yes. It's like nothing matches there, but that's okay.
The guy in a kilt next to him.
Yeah. Typical party in Montreal. There we go. Was that Boy George they just shot a picture of? My God, I think that's Boy George on that little clip there. Oh, that was when he was his bad heroin phase.
I would imagine they're saying a lot of things that would not be acceptable today.
Nope.
Probably not. Right, Greeny? Yes. Incredibly awesome, politically incorrect stuff.
Yes.
You know what, Dr. G, I meant to ask you, I mean, we've talked about all of the because I was going through some of the house shows. Because Roger, this is your first appearance here on our other rewatches on both Nitros and Raws. We can relate to TV shows, but back in these days when there wasn't a Raw and there wasn't a SmackDown or a Nitro, it was pretty much house shows that dictated all the storylines leading up to the Saturday Night's Main Events, which was the big TV show. And I was going through some of the house shows on Graham's website, thehistoryofwwe.com, and I was looking at all the different like places where we used to go that were close. Like I always went to New Haven Coliseum. Greeny used to go to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. That was your pretty much your close place.
Yes, sir.
That was your house. Aaron, you went to the Forum, I guess.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Forum. Rod, you obviously went to either the Boston Garden or the actually I guess it would
Boston
be the Boston Garden.
Yeah. I went to the Boston Garden a lot to watch house shows around this time.
Right. Now, Dr. G, I was looking at some of these house shows, and there was a place, in fact, that Clash 2 was at this place, the Knight Center in Miami. Was that anywhere near you?
It's in Miami. I saw a few house shows there. That's where WWF used to go back at that time because in the Fort Lauderdale area, there really wasn't any place to go. I mean, for Florida Championship Wrestling, we used to go to the Sunrise Musical Theater, but WWF was too big to go there at the time. So they used to go there. Yeah, I actually saw George the Animal Steel and Randy Savage go at each other, and somebody tried to give Elizabeth flowers, and Randy grabbed them and started, you know, taking the flowers and hitting George Steel with them and
a fan,
you know, ripping them
like
apart.
A fan was trying to give him flowers?
No, well, yeah, somebody a fan was trying to give her flowers.
Wow.
And he grabbed them from the fan and hit George the Animal Steel with him and went nuts.
I wish he hit him hard enough to retire. I wish he hit him hard enough to retire him permanently.
No, he's one of your favorites. I hear JR. You love.
I'd rather talk about the Giants than talk about George Steel.
And of course, George Steel was managed by Captain Lou.
Sounds like they dubbed in Real American here. I'm guessing that T was using Eye of the Tiger.
Do you want me to tell you
originally? Yes.
Yeah, it's Eye of the Tiger.
Is it?
Shame. It's a shame that T dropped that candy cane robe he had on for the
interview.
Just
thinking the same thing.
For the standard red. That candy cane robe was fantastic.
Looks like
it's hilarious.
Looks like the inside of Jerry Seinfeld's jacket. His suede jacket.
Yes, it does. So right off the bat, not wasting any time with this big boxing match.
Nope.
I'd say Orton with that perm fro with that cowboy hat was just an interesting look.
Awesome. He should box with the hat on.
Right?
Oh, come on.
Oh, maybe it will. Maybe it will. Aw.
That looks like Glenn Jacobs in T's corner man there.
T has some very short shorts on.
I don't know if you had a chance to hear JR. We were talking about venues and stuff, and I was looking at Graham's site today, and I was looking at your beloved Sunrise West Warwick Musical Theater, the tent, and because Lumpy Rotella was telling me about it today, and I didn't realize. I thought it was maybe only in the mid '80s, but they were doing it back in like '78 in the tent. I didn't realize they went back that far. And
yeah, they had a long run there. Those were some very memorable, and you know, nothing ever good. The matches definitely weren't good, but a very memorable atmosphere. So it was always a. Something to look forward to every August was when they were showing up at the tent.
But I was a
big fan of the Warwick Musical Theater here, Justin.
Yeah, it was the place to be before this was.
Before this was the place. So we've gotten started. Is T wearing different colored socks?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a green and a yellow on.
Lovely.
To go with his red shorts.
Yes. Colorblind.
It's like a Skittle. And so we get some shots. Ooh. Mr. T with some shots at the bread basket here.
No, this so far is better than the WrestleMania 2 match with him and Piper.
Yes, I like that Orton couldn't even like sell the boxing and had to wear wrestling tights. He couldn't even wear like boxing trunks.
Like, well, Mr. T's not wearing boxing trunks. He's wearing like 1970s running shorts.
Yes. No, but those are like straight out of Rocky 3. I think he took them for the set.
Yes.
So T looks to be
really
in
shape at this point. Because he was, you know, always in decent shape, but he got a little fat at this point.
Orton, yes.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He's packed a couple on.
Yeah. What were you saying, Raj?
I was going to say, T looks to be the more fluid boxer, but Orton is definitely gritty.
Who's ahead on points so far, Roger?
Complete with the awesome. He's got enough points because of the fro that he was growing out.
He looked a little lazy.
Yeah, Raj, break this down for us based on skill set and size and reach. You're the boxing expert here. We're just novices.
One, you know, there's not a whole lot going on here. T's doing his Floyd Mayweather, walking away with his hands down, showing Orton little to no respect. T looks like he's getting tired, which isn't great since the fight's only 45 seconds in. Orton with not a bad jab, the right hand real weak, real, real weak.
Hit him in the eye?
I'm enjoying Roddy Piper more outside.
Pretty much. He's selling it. Anyway.
Oh, man.
There's that a cheap shot.
Thumbed him in the eye. That's a... Got to slow that guy down one way or the other. Oh, Orton, Orton's getting a little cocky here. My prediction, Orton gets knocked on his ass in the next minute and a half if they start fighting again.
I'm going to have you just analyze every boxer-wrestler match that ever occurred on the show.
Should do a compilation of them, yes. Who's this other guy that's supposed to... Have they mentioned, Greeny, who this dude is with the Harley Race hair right there?
They haven't given any names. He looks
like, if you guys remember, Billy Curley from Boston College.
Yeah, yes. He does.
just like him.
Yes.
Mates his dad.
That's awesome. There's round two.
Was that really the end of the round, or was it just he just happened to catch him in the eye and they slowed it down?
T looked like he hit him with an actual left hook there.
There's a cheap shot. The ref goes down. Is that Dick Worley? What referee is that?
Yes.
Dick Worley, that's right. He used to do all the big matches.
And Dick Kroll was the other guy.
He's not very happy, whoever he is.
Nope. Roddy with a kiss on the cheek there. That's not something you see every day. Not something you see every day in the corner.
No.
Orton doesn't.
Maybe that was in the middle of the round that T just sat down. Because yeah. Now they're sitting again, and he must have done in the middle of the round.
How is Roger? How's Roddy Piper as a corner man? Is he doing everything that he's supposed to be doing here?
Nope, he's really not going by the book. He's supposed to have his guy sit down. He's supposed to. You see what they're doing in T's corner, kind of like the end swell.
Yeah,
Titan Piper is, you know, he looks like he's motivating properly, but you know, from an Exodus and Nose perspective, really shoddy work.
He's acting like Piper is. Now.
Do you think Piper's qualified to cut him if a wound gets too infected?
Cut me right.
I don't know what Orton's doing with his dance, but it's amazing. Whatever,
that's awesome.
He's doing this, Diaz, there he goes.
Good night.
He's just trying to impress Piper.
Did you see that left hook, though? I mean, T looks like he's really throwing.
Orton stood in and took it.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, here we go. This is a...
And that's pretty much the end of that. Oh. Some heel miscommunication. Wow,
I'll
Piper,
tell you
there
that.
There's a crowd of mental right now.
I'll tell you, Orton stood in, took those shots, then he went right back at T. Yeah. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
There's a very large woman in the front row jumping up and down in a Hulkamania shirt.
Look at how tired T is, though. You can tell. I mean, boxing will take it out of you. I mean, and you can tell he didn't train a lick.
We have to watch.
Exhausted.
I think after this, we might have
to fight because he was just going to fall over.
I think after this, we might have to have Raj watch WrestleMania 2 if he's going to do these Saturday Night's Main Events with us, just like he does for the Raws. Yes.
We should watch the fights from Rocky 3, too, to get some perspective.
I know that one well. I know that one very well.
Oh, Piper wants to knuckle up, as our man Ken Shamrock would say.
Yes. So now this match, obviously I'm not hearing it, but... Have they already announced this, the boxing match for two? Was this a setup to that, or does it come out of this?
I think it comes out of this.
It definitely comes out of this.
Okay, so they haven't announced it yet.
Look at Roddy.
What an idiot T is.
Pearl Harbor job on T.
Chuck. Just knocked out Billy Curley to the floor.
Building some good heat here for these two. You could see why. Piper was just a heat machine. Obviously, we saw it with the Hogan feud. We saw it with the Snuka and the Tonga Kid and that stuff. And now with T, Just anything
he's just
did.
A great heel, Roddy. Yeah.
Anything he did, the crowd just ate it up.
Now, what he's about to do now, we would never see.
We would never see that now.
No.
Never.
But Piper, I mean, the one thing you had to love about Piper, he really didn't fucking care.
No.
Even if Vince said don't do it, he'll be like, eh, whatever, fuck
Jesse
you.
Jesse is not shy in calling it what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Piper's got a promo, I think it's from around this time, where he's sitting in a chair and he just goes, Mr. T is the only guy I know who wears more chains than his ancestors.
Ooh.
Like, I would not lie today.
Wow.
Yeah. You're right about him not caring.
No, he really didn't. I mean, that's how much he legitimately hated. Because Piper was just one of those old school, you know, carny guys who hated when all these
Didn't think it was good for the business.
Celebrities came in. Yeah, thinking that this is so easy and it's a joke, and he was not shy in saying that. WrestleMania.
Didn't he do that thing with Bad News Brown where he painted himself half
yes.
black?
Yeah. I think he was legitimately crazy in that one.
That's one word for it.
Yeah. He went batshit. T looked like he put on a little gut. I mean, not.
He's having fun, guys. Just having fun.
Yeah, T is talking about stuff that would not be talked about today. Oh my goodness!
Want to hear? So this is March 1st. So not a big deal.
Probably Greeny. The crowd noise, you know, during all of that.
Well, after the match ended, they were hot, and then once Piper and Orton were getting their heat back, it was. I'm surprised there wasn't some stuff being thrown in the ring.
You know, today I think Mr. T would get booed in today's WWE. Like, you know, if they brought him in as a, you know, like
it depends on what they use him for.
With the way the fans are now,
depends. I think on what it would. I mean, yeah, because Piper. Well, this
I mean,
era,
if you threw him in like a feud with like the Miz or something, I don't think so. But
you put him in the main event to WrestleMania instead of Daniel Bryan, you think they'd boo him?
Yeah, like if you stuck him in Roman Reigns' corner or something.
Look, everybody likes Roman Reigns.
He has everybody. Roman Reigns. No.
Yeah, George, do you mean that it's just because he's like celebrity? You know, the celebrities they don't take as well to today or something.
Yeah, I don't feel that they. You know, I think fans are tougher today. I think it would be to be like, get this guy out of here. He doesn't know what he's doing.
But there seem to be some good, like I watched the Mayweather and the Big Show, and that seemed to be
that was decent. That was one of the better celebrity interactions they've had.
I think Mayweather got it. The problem in that feud was that they should have made Mayweather the heel. That was the difference there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and also like today they don't get anybody cool usually.
Yeah.
Kathy Lee Gifford. That's who they get.
Yeah. We have to stop the presses now because we got some Steve Gatorwolf action coming up right now.
No.
some suitable competition for Bundy.
Yes.
Big matchup.
And this is a really cool camera work on the entrance, making it seem like a big time deal with the security and that shot from behind, like just making him look huge coming down the aisle. Like, and they're really treating him like just a big time heel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you notice too, like whenever they shoot, like say the Big Show now, they shoot him from like below. So it kind of negates how tall he actually is. Because you have to get
the package shot. They always give you the package shot.
That's something they used to do with Andre a lot.
Yeah, but that doesn't show how big they are. Like, it's a strange choice. But that one was perfect.
I agree with you, JR. I like the shot from behind, like, with the ring up front and then him in the foreground. They don't do that as much anymore, the back camera shots.
That's the shot they do with Henry, right? Usually when he comes out?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like, Jesse, the camera be right at the entrance. Yeah.
Jesse and Vince are really building Bundy up here.
Now, did this come out? You guys were watching more than I was in 85, 86, more familiarity with it. Were they pushing him hard into this show, or does it just really jumpstart here? Like,
if I remember, he was still doing the tag matches with Stud a lot.
Yeah.
And, I think he might have had some Garden House Show matches against Andre, like in singles matches. But I think this is like the first big push for him for that main event spot.
Yeah, I remember kind of January and February, Hogan was still facing Funk.
Well, I know Hogan wasn't fighting him, but I didn't know if they had, like, here they're positioning him as the top heel. You can tell.
Right.
I just was wondering how long that had gone on for, or if it just starts here.
Well, they did a lot of the buildup of like these, you know, squash matches and then counting the five and everything. You know how they always like,
right,
that time they always built everybody up. But this was the show, if I remember correctly, that really, you know, brought him to the forefront.
Yeah, he was more in that feud. Like you were saying, Greeny, I think it was like the Heenan family against Andre. So I think that's who Bundy was mostly with.
I think he might have gone around the loop with working matches with Hillbilly Jim, too.
Yeah.
Around that time.
But yeah, JR, yeah, definitely.
That, wasn't
last
that WrestleMania 3 with the midgets?
Wasn't it
Bundy against Hillbilly Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was a fall from grace there.
What a great moment, though, when he slams that midget.
Oh, I wish he had splashed him.
It was freaking hilarious.
I wish he had splashed him. There's Morocco.
Magnificent Morocco.
Yep.
This magnificent gut.
My favorite heel from back then.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, he was amazing. You know, it's funny.
And JR and I have talked about this on past shows, and I've talked about it with you, G, that it's sad because the pay-per-view era, when it started in 1985, never really captured, and I'm sure Parv and those guys on their show have talked about, because they were in that run, but Morocco from like 81 to 84 might have been the best heel in the company.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
You know, I mean, he was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And he really brought legitimacy to the Intercontinental belt, too. You know, the Intercontinental belt back in the 80s and even the early 90s was, you know, it was thought of as a major championship. You know, that was like stepping stone.
Yep.
So we got some breaking news. Looks like Mr. Fuji has a case of the flu.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. No.
But Morocco has another manager that's going to bring him out.
Oh.
I'll never cry if Fuji. Yes, what an upgrade.
Oh, awesome. He should have stayed with Bobby from that point on.
Yeah.
This is an awesome combo. Damn, I wish this was real.
Does anyone know why Morocco wasn't on WrestleMania 1? Was he hurt?
He was hurt.
Yeah, okay.
He had to have been. Because right after 1, was it WrestleMania 1? Was it 85 or 86? No, it had to have been 85
after that, he did like 3 garden shows in a row against Hogan.
Right, but was it late 85 or was it 86 when he was doing the martial arts matches with Steamboat? Was that 85?
It was 85. I think that was right after the Hogan thing.
Yeah, because 86 is when Steamboat started the feud with Jake, which I think is the next Science Main Event we'll be doing. That one was actually Providence.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Here's our world champion.
The Fuji laying down with that fucking ice pack was just absurd. I'm not
great.
But they said he had the flu. I mean, he looked like he had food poisoning. Yeah. He gave him food poisoning.
It's all that sushi, right?
It's all that sushi. Which was fine, acceptable reasoning back then.
Hogan's got his Rambo look going on.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just,
tie the
typical Hogan promo here.
Yeah, his promo style definitely, I feel like, changed probably after the Andre feud. Like, then he got much more, like, he was definitely still, like an angrier babyface, EWA style, till, I would say, probably 88. Probably right when Hogan won the belt, or Hogan, or when Savage won it at 4.
I was going to say, right about the time when the Mega Powers came together is when he started changing a little bit.
Then he became, like, the typical, like, WWF promo. But even at this point, I still think he had, like, the angry, not angry, but, well, I would say, like the amped up AWA promos he did against Bockwinkel in 83 and stuff. Like, I feel like he kept that intensity, and then it got more, like, soft by, like, you, the, you know,
Mega Powers. What do you guys think about the
belt, Scott?
What's that? This belt?
Yeah.
Never, I wasn't a big fan of that belt. I liked the one he had before that one. But I mean, the Winged Eagle is better than any of his early ones. Although the green one, I always thought was unique.
Yeah, but the green one was different.
I don't know why they haven't made a replica of that one yet.
You know, there was a guy. Remember, G? I think it was one of the conventions we went to in Jersey. There was a guy who had, it wasn't that belt. It was like Superstar Billy Graham's belt, like the 77 belt, and some guy who had like the AWA belt, like the original. Not the original, but like the big one from the early 80s. It looked like it had like felt on it or whatever. And he said some guy like, you know, overseas made it, because I don't think like Milligan or any of those normal belt guys make it. But I'm surprised they haven't redone the, because I was like, my brother was always a fan of the green Intercontinental belt. They never really did.
I love that belt. I remember Valentine having that one.
Yep, and I don't think they've ever made a replica of that one. Even Dave
when
Milligan.
He smashed it or whatever.
Yeah, when he won the title. When Tito beat him in Baltimore, he bashed it against the cage.
Yep.
And that's
can we talk about that. Hogan's white knee pads? That's more entertaining to me. Because they look really so off-putting whenever he's just not in the red and yellow. I know it took a while before he was in the red and yellow, but it's just really odd. Roger, you started to say something before?
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you guys' thoughts on throwing the heavyweight title right in the middle of the card here instead of as the main event?
Well, they did that a lot on Saturday's main event because it was so late at night. They would, I think they assumed most people weren't going to stay up maybe to watch the big matches, so they would put them early to kind of hook in, get the big audience, get the big number from that 11:30 to 12:15-ish hour, and then they'd kind of, you know, they'd front load the show and always kind of have the chum at the end.
That and makes it's kind of nice for, like, kids, too. Like, if they're actually staying up, they get to see their guy before they sleep.
Right. And there were a few times I tried so hard. I would fall asleep, like, right before the show started, and I'd wake up all pissed off. I mean, there was the one I remember the most is, well, I mean, we're a ways away from it, in 91 with the Battle Royal, Perfect Battle Royal.
Yes.
Oh, I remember dying to watch that, and my parents had people over, so it was kind of loud in the house. So I'm like, this is good. It'll keep me up. And I remember I must have fell asleep literally at like 11:20 on the couch and then missed the whole thing.
Senior would let me stay up for him. He was good. Cartoon Express, then I would take a nap and then be able to watch the
Was anybody else ever disappointed when Saturday Night Live was on?
Like, not that stretch, because Saturday Night Live back then was actually
good. It was so good.
Yeah, but you guys, like, for me, like, I was like 8 or 9. Right.
I was
pissed.
I was like 6.
Well, during this era, like, I was 6 or 7, I would have my parents, you know, tape it for me on the VCR. As I got older, I would stay up and, you know, sit through the Hogan match or the Savage match, whoever was champion. I'd be asleep by like 12:15.
I would, I used to, you know, I didn't really understand that it was like monthly at the time or whatever. Once, by the time I really started watching, it was more like quarterly, but I would check the TV guide that came in the newspaper.
I was just going to say that. I would
every
check
Saturday
every
to
week.
See. Yeah, yeah. To see if,
yes.
Every yeah. Sunday.
The cool picture.
My parents would get it when they go grocery shopping, they always pick it up at the checkout lane, and, you know, they bring it home and I look, is there a Saturday Night's main event? Oh, fuck no. Mm-hmm. You know, someone's hosting Saturday Night Live next week.
Yeah. So, no, I agree.
It's funny how we get so excited about this. I mean, this was like in my house. My dad loved wrestling like I did. So that was like, I think we bonded more over wrestling than we did even baseball or football. And we would make like a whole big thing. He would go out and he'd buy like, you know, frozen pizzas and, you know, chips and stuff like that. We'd make like a big deal out of it.
What they would do too is if you're watching like NBC like during the week, like on a Wednesday or Thursday, they would start running the promos for this during their primetime slots.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I just used to get so psyched up for this. We used to have such good time.
So this match has been pretty good so far.
Yeah, it's been decent.
Hogan had some good spots early with some good clotheslines, and now Morocco's taken over. And I know we were talking about earlier, Morocco, pretty underrated. Raj, you remember Morocco? And you're watching other than like when he became The Rock, all roided up later in the 80s. Do you remember any? Have you seen a lot of like kind of prime era Morocco?
I remember watching in this time frame that we're watching tonight. So yes,
I mean he had
some
great stuff
before that. Like I remember watching WrestleMania 2 is the one that was headlined by Bundy versus Hogan, right?
Yeah,
I remember watching that one, and but not much before that.
Yeah, Morocco. He's a guy that's worth trying. I don't know how much is on the network of him pre this era, but he had a great run, and I know Greeny, I think you've seen a lot of it with the stuff in like 83 and 84. He was Intercontinental champion, and he would do this gimmick where he'd like eat a sandwich while he's squashing jobbers sometimes. Like he'd go to the corner, have a couple bites, come back, beat the piss out of the guy, go back, have more bites of the sandwich.
He would cut in studio promos and eat like powdered donuts.
Yeah,
some real creative shit.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a real, real jacked up version of Big Pussy from The Sopranos. You know what
he
I mean?
Does. Like, yeah, he does.
I was going to comment earlier, too, that, you know, Hogan threw some jabs that made Cowboy Bob Orton look like Larry Holmes. I mean, just It's good he took that out of his arsenal. He kind of leaned forward and just flicked his left hand up, like just real.
Have you ever, Raj, have you ever seen the Fuji Vice stuff with Morocco where they did the skits? It was Fuji Vice, Fuji Bandito.
I do. I like Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I have a very vague memory of that.
Those are definitely on the network on TNT. Yeah. If you look at the those TNT forum, they're worth checking out because they still hold up for the ridiculous camp. Gee, you've seen those, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are hilarious. I used to like Morocco on the house shows, like on primetime, and Morocco would dedicate his pile drivers to Bobby. And so I always thought they had like a special relationship anyway. There's when Gorilla and Bobby would do a house show and Morocco was on, he'd always dedicate his pile drivers to Bobby. That was pretty cool.
I think it's an episode of Primetime that's on the network from like early or like summertime of 86. And they show a Boston Garden match with Morocco against Dan Spivey. And he just kicks the shit out of Spivey, throws him in the fucking guardrail. And I guess back then at the Boston Garden, like they would have the guardrail, but then there would be like two or three like empty or like a space that would be like two or three empty rows. And then like there would be like people and he would like throw them into the guardrail and the guardrail would go all the way back to where the people are sitting, and he'd beat the shit out of them.
And I really think JR that these knee pads are borrowed. I think they still look like they're his.
No, they don't fit at all.
Probably borrowed them from like Tito or something.
Danny Poffo.
Hogan hits I forgot my red ones.
Hogan hits the big boot and the leg drop here. He's covering, but here comes Bobby to draw the
Bobby
DQ.
Picks it up.
Does it surprise you guys, Morocco had such a good 85, the Steamboat stuff, and then this big spot here with Hogan, and really just kind of crawls into two, and then kind of peters out after that. Like, it seems like they still thought highly of him here to give him this match.
Right. It's very strange. Yeah, like, you know, like he was in the opening match at WrestleMania 2, and then he went into that whole thing with Piper and Adonis, right?
Yeah, where he's kind of just a corner
with Orton and Adonis. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And here we go. As Jesse, I remember saying, he looks like the cavalry, McMahon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hogan had Bobby up in a choke, and Bundy comes in, smashes him from behind. Now Morocco's helping.
This was huge. Yeah. This was like the first time Hogan was like laid out in WWF.
Yep.
Yeah, Bundy really doing it all. I just chucked that ref to the floor.
Chucked Dave to the floor.
And the splashes look good, too. I mean, he's really laying them in. He's really – and I like to have it – they have Hogan bent over, and he's like – Bundy's gut is really hitting his ribs, so it makes sense when they sell the lower back and ribs because
Bobby's throwing him into him. Oh, this is tremendous.
Yeah.
Great storytelling right here.
So simple, right?
Yeah.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, they don't do anything like this anymore where they just beat the shit out of someone.
Well, it's tough, stuff. Though. I mean, Aaron, you should know kind of more than anyone because you're watching all these shows, the volume of them. This was easy to do when you could hide Hogan now for 6 weeks and no one thought it funny of it. So many weeks to fill, though. I mean, you could do a great beatdown like this now, but then you get another 10 shows to fill before Mania. You know, it's like, all right, what do you do?
Well, they did it last year. Triple H really beat the hell out of Brian on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
They also have so many guys now that are on TV all the time that, like, you're not wrong in what you're saying, but, like, they could do it once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is they can't do it with the top guy. He could, but they're afraid to take guys like that off TV. So you end up doing it with middle tier guys. But you're right, Raj. Right. They did it with Brian last year, where they beat the piss out of him every week. Beatdown.
Pedro Morales in the red shirt.
Pedro Morales, and the British Bulldogs.
That was a good. I like those assisted splashes too, where they were shoving down on him. So great beatdown. Really, are you guys really all pumped for WrestleMania 2 after this?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I definitely was when I was watching it, big time.
I love the brigade of faces that always come out and help.
Wow, it looks like Pedro Morales' shirt was the same like his tights used to look. Like, it's like matching because he used to wear those same like orange and red
tights.
The little
doctor's bag there. Look at
check his heart.
He crushed it.
Pedro looks like he's going to sing a lounge act after this.
The greatest bell bottoms ever.
Oh, look at this guy. He's checking his. Oh my god!
Pedro, hurry up! I got a show over at the.
It's some ham and eggs from the back that they grab.
Well, that chick had the same hair as Orton. That's not.
I got a show over Rosetta's at 10 p.m. I got to do.
And go do karaoke with Pat Patterson.
Oh god!
Now we're getting the replay.
Has anyone ever had
a serious voice?
The next. Has anyone ever had the privilege of seeing Pat Patterson do karaoke?
Just on Legends House. That was about
yeah, Legends House. Yeah, there's some YouTube clips out there too.
I saw him live, and it was very interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. He's saying, "I did it my way."
Gorilla's back there.
Isn't that what he's saying on the show too? My way.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's saying my. Yep, yeah. He did. Yep.
This was one song, I guess.
Wow, Gorilla's getting in the ambulance. Yeah, oh, this is hardcore.
A lot of perm mullets on those EMTs.
Yeah. When I remember thinking that when Gorilla got in the yes. ambulance, it was like serious, like big time. Wow, Gorilla's getting in the ambulance with him. Surprised Vince didn't either, according to Jesse. I think Jesse says, why don't you go with him, McMahon? So they're laughing. We just threw Hogan in the ambulance. I wonder if he's really hurt.
They definitely sounded like a big deal, so good on them.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And here he goes off to...
Neverland.
The Phoenix... Phoenix General.
Vince is acting a little confused. He couldn't get in contact with Mean Gene. They were having technical issues or whatever.
Big match here.
Nice. Huge. Tag match here.
Are the titles on the line? Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yep.
Hey, guys.
Dynamite.
Yep. Dynamite and the Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldogs, with, of course, glomming on to their heat as always as Lou Albano.
Tell them right now, look, guys, I know I haven't managed you before tonight, but, you know, I got a record to protect.
Yeah. You got a title shot, I'm here.
Yeah.
Both guys are ripped at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So what pay-per-views were they doing back then besides WrestleMania?
That was it? Classic.
They did Wrestling Classic. Yeah. In November, I mean, in Chicago,
they had WrestleMania 2, and then they did the big event.
That's right, big event. But that was a pay per view, wasn't it?
Yeah,
oh, was it?
It was.
No,
so
Thanksgiving
was it, or was it just like a Coliseum home video?
Yeah, I think it was just it wasn't. Video. Yeah, I don't think it was pay per view.
Okay. Yeah, no, we would get Survivor Series G for another year, or 2 years, like a year and a half. I remember
being on Thanksgiving. I mean, it was like a tradition in my house. It was like 2 or 3 years they did it.
Yep, to 90, yeah.
87 to 90.
Thanksgiving dinner at 4 o'clock, boom, you put the paper, we had the pay-per-view on.
Yeah, well, Starrcade was on Thanksgiving from 83 till, when did they move?
88.
Yeah, 88, so.
Did you watch Starrcade, G? Did you get Starrcade on?
No, I don't think our cable company carried it. Remember, you know, Vince was very tough with that. He used to threaten the...
But even before WrestleMania, yeah, I guess not. Because I don't think pay-per-view would have had...
We got the Survivor Series.
But I don't even think before Survivor Series. I bet you, like, our cable company's Northeast. I don't know. I'm surprised you didn't have it, G, in Florida. But up here, we didn't. We couldn't get... Because my brother wanted to get it, and we never could get it.
Yeah, I don't know, because we watched every wrestling show that was on, me and my father, on Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, you had Memphis.
We had Memphis. We got Memphis. We got... Florida, we got, you know, obviously the Georgia, and then all the WWF shows, because we had WOR, so the WWF used to be on WOR. They had some of the shows, mm-hmm. And then USA, obviously.
My brother was the biggest Dream Team fan. He loved he was always a Valentine guy, but yeah. he loved the Dream Team.
My dad loved all the heels. So when you're a kid, you know, you love all the faces. My dad loved all the heels.
Yeah,
so
my dad was typical.
That was always fun in my household.
My dad was a typical baby face guy.
So looking at my flashback to January, was this on TV?
Yeah, this is TV and non-title match.
Bulldogs.
That looks like Poughkeepsie, Greeny.
That is Poughkeepsie.
Doesn't it?
That's the old Civic Center, yeah.
That's right. Oh, remember that ref?
Yes.
That little, I don't remember what his name was, but I love
Lush. Raj, any knowledge of the Dream Team other than this little match here?
I know both guys well. Is that what you mean?
Just as a team, Ed. Do you know any of their tag teams?
I don't remember them as a team, unfortunately. The name rings a bell. I like Beefcake's outfit.
As Greg Valentine said it during his Hall of Fame induction speech, this team was put together for him to teach Beefcake how to work.
Yeah, pretty much, because he was not very good at all.
No.
He was
dreadful
before this.
Were Beefcake and Hogan fucking yet at this point?
Just casually, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They were
friends. They actually wrestled together in Memphis.
In Memphis, they all have sex.
They were like a tag team.
So if it was Memphis, Aaron, they were definitely doing it. So
okay, good. There's no rules down there.
Yeah, so the Dream Team had beat the U.S. Express, right, for the tag titles?
In August.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think – I'm pretty sure that Wyndham had already left. I don't know if I think Rotundo was actually still – because it was Wyndham.
Isn't he in the Battle Royale too, Rotundo, or no?
No.
He's gone.
No,
it
he's
was,
gone.
Yeah, it was Rotundo and Spivey after Wyndham left. Right.
Yeah, but I'm wondering – that's a good question, though, JR, because I'm trying to remember if Wyndham went, or if Rotundo went into 86. Probably not. No, he was definitely not in the Battle Royal, but I definitely think he lasted through the beginning of 86 because they lost the titles in August.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and Wyndham left, like, immediately.
And then they went back down to Florida, right, after that?
Was it, G? Did they go back to Florida or did they go right to the Carolinas?
Yeah, like I always told you, Mike Rotundo had to come pick up his boat, and my father's friend was a wrestler down in Florida, and he left his boat, at my friend's house, and he had to come pick it up. For some reason, I remember like the girls, all the little girls, going crazy over Mike Rotundo because they thought Barry Windham was coming too because he was the hot guy, but he was supposed to come with him. He didn't come, but. Mike Rotundo, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, and a big Yankees fan. So
yeah, I think Rotundo, cool. I think Rotundo did go to Florida. I'm pretty sure Wyndham went right to because '87 was when him and Flair had their big feud. Mm-hmm. So Rotundo probably went to Florida and then went to the Carolinas.
Yeah, and to think like when I first met Mike Rotundo, Bray Wyatt wasn't even born yet.
I know, or any of his kids for that matter, but because I think Rotundo joined the Varsity Club. Early 88? Because I think Starrcade 88 is when Rick Steiner beats him for the TV title.
He was always a good hand. You know, he mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
and a loyal guy to the business. I mean, he obviously stayed and worked his dates, but.
Mm-hmm. He's a great accountant, too.
Yes, he is.
And a good ship captain.
Yeah.
He was only a ship captain for like a month.
You heard G. Kim picked up the boat. Bulldog's really overpowering the Dream Team. The Dream Team's had no offense in.
Yeah, fun little TV tag match here.
Let's just Johnny V at ringside.
I feel like the Dream Team would be remembered more fondly if Valentine had Beefcake's leopard print on his tights, too.
He should have hearts on his tights. That would have been even better. Yeah, the tag division was not great yet in WWF.
No, it was coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hearts and the Killer Bees coming around.
A lot of balls calling this team the Dream Team. Beefcake is one of the members.
That's why they're great heels.
Yeah, but, you know, in those days, they built those guys. I mean, Beefcake was built up when he first came in. They built him up right. And then when they put these two together.
I think, Valentine was already established at this point. But it was somebody good for
– I think it was a good move for his career because he had his singles run. And.
But after watching WrestleMania 1 match with fucking Bruno's kid, I think this tag team was almost a necessity or else I think Beefer was in the stinker after that because that match is fucking dreadful.
Yeah, and I don't even think Hogan could have saved his job.
You know what's weird about we were talking as we watch these, we always talk about the differences between yesterday and today. Like back then, you'd see matches that would be at WrestleMania, and it wouldn't faze anybody. Like, wow, we're watching this, and 5 weeks later, they're going to wrestle at WrestleMania. And we didn't like now. It's the match has to be special. We never can see it. It's something that never can happen before. And back then,
well, it was more realistic. That's why, because just because they won tonight doesn't mean they don't deserve another match, and anyone can win.
Right.
You know, I know they kind of do it now, though, with more 50-50. The difference then it was they'd usually protect the finish heading into that show versus now, where they don't give a fuck.
Right.
They'll just
It's all about that.
They can do a different 20-minute match every night.
Right.
Right.
And they built up babyfaces to a point where you wanted to see them win the belts. So you'd be very happy to pay for them to have this match again.
I mean, to an example of that, Aaron, at this time in 86 in AWA is when the Midnight Rockers and the hell were their names?
Summers and Rhodes.
Summers and Buddy Rhodes would have Buddy Rhodes.
Buddy Rhodes.
Yeah. Dusty's cousin.
Buddy Rhodes.
I mean, like, Rose and Summers won, like, almost every match, or it ended in a schmoz or whatever, and then finally they had a big cage match, and the Rockers finally won it. So
it's perfect.
Well, I think it comes down to this, and I mentioned it, and I want Roger's take on this, because he's kind of been a Laps fan coming back, not as kind of inside as we are, but and I mentioned this in my piece today I did on Sid 20 years ago, Sid's debut in the kind of my first discovery of insider news. The difference then and now, you know, then you cared about what happened on TV. And I think that's kind of evident in what we're talking about. So you cared to see the Bulldogs win the title. So like you said, you know, we didn't care if we had to pay again for the match because we wanted this team to win the belts. And we wanted to see what happened. We were mad because X and X happened on TV. Whereas now, you know, everyone likes to think they're not a mark, but we're all marks in different regard, right? So now it's, I like Daniel Bryan. Why are they booking him not to win? I'm going to pay right. because I want to see a great match. Whereas back then, you were paying to see a guy win a match, and you were mad if they lost. You were mad at the heel for beating the face. Now we're mad at the bookers for booking the face to lose. So, you know, it's just a different level of interest in fandom. Like, it again, everyone still believes. Everyone's still a mark. We just look for different things to be mad or happy about. Like, everyone right. still has euphoric reactions when their favorite guy wins, when Brock Lesnar beats the shit out of John Cena, when Daniel Bryan finally wins a belt. Like, even though we know it's fake or booked, I should say, we all still get into it because it's what right. we wanted to see. It's just that we...
It was also easier to show sympathy for babyface back then.
No, you still but can it's... now. It's just different. We're sympathetic because they're being buried. We're mad. We're yeah. sympathetic about Punk and Bryan because they're being held down. Not because they're getting the shit kicked out of them.
Because it's 10 years of a guy that nobody likes, right? Well, nobody, quote unquote, right? So now it's like we're just happy now to have people in the right positions in the card. Never mind who wins.
Right.
That's
but my whole point is we care more about we still care and get into it. It's just we're not buying what's on screen. We're just mad at what's behind the scenes to drive what happens on screen. So we treat it more like a performance art than in the back in the day when it was more of a real fight. So the Dream Team beats the shit out of the Dream Team beats the shit out of the British Bulldogs. We'd be mad at the fucking Dream Team in 1986. Now we're mad because, the Bookers are holding down the Bulldogs and they're having the hated Dream Team beat them up.
Right.
Our anger has shifted, or our enjoyment has shifted from on
to that point. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, isn't that just a testament, though, to, like, to how poor the writing is? Because, like, if you translate that to, say, like, a television show, it's very rare in a television show you're like, oh, my God. Like, you get just as invested in it. Oh, I don't want so-and-so to die. I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, but we still get mad at the writers for saying, oh, why do they have to write him off? Why do they have to kill him? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's still a part of our society. Like, you watch, you know, whatever show, and someone dies or they go in a different – wow, why are they going this way? Why are the writers taking it this way? Like, I think we see more of that than in the past. And I'm not saying it's good, bad, right, or wrong. I just think it's the way we've evolved with – getting more information, gaining more information. Roger, what's your take on it as someone who hasn't completely crossed that line over to caring more about behind the scenes and just watching more as a fan? Like, do you see that in a lot of fans?
Oh, definitely, yeah. So, I mean, like, when I look back to watching these, I mean, I've always knew it was scripted, but to your point, I cared about, you call them the characters, call them the wrestler, whatever you want to call them. I cared about them. I cared about them winning. And I think it is a lot like a show, but I think what you guys miss is that you've been watching the show for so long that you get pissed at the writers. So I look at like a show like The Sopranos. The first couple of seasons of The Sopranos, you got a guy like Richie Aprile, and I fucking hated Richie Aprile, and I was so pumped up when he passed away.
Yeah, I hated Richie.
Yeah, right. But then it's not like, oh, I'm happy they wrote that he passed away like this. It's just like, I'm happy he got fucking shot, you know?
Yeah, yeah. When Jonas took him out, that was like, oh, awesome.
By the last episode, right, and the show had gotten a little bit stale, right? It was a little different. And then they ended it the way that they did. And it wasn't like, oh, I missed the character. It was David Chase, you're an asshole, right? And
yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And I think in wrestling, it's similar in that, you know, back when I watched then, I didn't have this feeling that my opinion counted, right? That I, like, me wanting something to happen would actually make it happen. And now it seems like all the fans, and I mean, this is from someone who stepped away, all the fans feel entitled that if the guy that they don't want to win doesn't win, well then, you know, the people who write this are assholes. But would you really want to watch a show where you knew exactly what was going to happen every time? You know, I don't know. I think it's good when the guy everybody wants to win doesn't win. You know,
you're bang on with that. It's just it has to be done in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because what you just said about The Sopranos is bang on. But like, it's like you're right. But as soon as it got a bit stale, that's when people started complaining. Like, anyway, we're going around in circles. Doesn't matter. But like, it's exactly that. Like, it's not about. Anyway, for me, I can only speak about for me. Like, it's not about who wins and who loses. It's just that the show is compelling, right?
Mm. So for me, last year with the Royal Rumble and the Batista result, I found that to be very compelling because of how pissed off everybody was. Like, I mean, if they wanted a reaction, they got a reaction. But then they kind of went to the well again this year, and it was, you know, the reaction wasn't quite as strong, and now everyone's just kind of angry, so. Anyway, that's just my take.
Well, let's first off, while we were discussing, wasn't that an awesome tag match? Oh my god,
yes,
that match
yes,
was great.
Really, really, really good
shit out
match.
Of each other. And now
Dream Team won, we should mention, by a little bit of shenanigans there. So that of course would set things up for WrestleMania 2. Did you know the Dream Team used "We Are the Champions" by Queen? Did you get to hear that on your version, Aaron?
I don't have the sound on.
Okay.
So
okay, what did they play, Greeny, when they came out? Anything or no?
I think it was Beefcake's music.
The barber.
His barber music, yeah.
That didn't fit at all. So weird. And now, of course, the legendary.
Say Hogan's dancing in space right now.
Yes. The legendary.
Is this a promo for WrestleMania 2?
No, this is the Real American music video.
This is the debut. This is the debut of this video.
It's pretty, you get to see old clips of Hogan playing guitar growing up and dancing in space and everything else.
And right before
Martin
this,
Luther King.
We had Mean Gene staking out the hospital in his tuxedo, waiting for an update on Hulkster. Yep.
This is fantastic. This Hulk is playing, the best thing I've ever
Hulk
seen.
Hogan staying on top of the Rose Bowl and cornfields.
Mount Rushmore.
Hey, there's Brooklyn, Jay. Was
it's like they just discovered how to do like green screen shit. They're like, oh my god, let's do it all. Give me every scene in America and around the world.
Vince. Doing it in my swimming pool.
Well, that's not a phallic at all. This is the fucking rocket busting through the thing.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing
is
stuff.
Missile
what
being
war was
shot.
That, was that like Grenada? Is that
what yeah, I don't know what the hell.
It's
86,
going. Right?
Yeah. Did you guys ever see when they watched this on Beavis and Butthead?
No, I don't know.
No, they do this on Beavis and Butthead? I didn't know.
Yes.
That.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Gaddafi.
Yes, tear this up, brother.
Well, Reagan would attack. What was it like a month and a half later? I think he actually would bomb Libya. So it kind of fit, I guess.
This is fantastic.
And they were when work was encoding this. We had turned it up in encoding, and we were blasting. It was pretty awesome when they put it on the on our surface. It was pretty great. We put it when they played it on the stream one day when they were filling up to the top of an hour. We had all four big screen TVs on it. We turned the volume. Oh, it was awesome. It was a great moment in work.
Did Rotella rip his shirt off?
Oh God, I hope not.
Just did then we threw him with machinery and electrocuted
did
him
have
with
his
all
pants
hair,
pulled up
so?
To his tits as well.
Yes. But then we threw him into a piece of machinery and his hair caught fire. His back hair caught fire, so.
Armento's tiny nuts.
Wow, look at this, man. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Adorable Adrian looking.
Adorable.
Adorable. Yeah. Speaking of Rotella. Wow. And to think he was getting, I mean, this is a testament to Adrian Adonis because he was technically getting punished for getting fat by this gimmick, and he just jumped all over it. So, kudos to him. This interview was pre-taped, in case you didn't know.
Yes,
they don't do that now.
Obviously, well, he's in the ring,
well,
so
you
it's
got Mean Gene at the hospital, so you can't have him doing the interview
that's
here.
That's right.
Yes, Gene was at the. Gene definitely was at the hospital. We saw that when we were ranting before about viewing habits.
Must have taken a cab over there since Gorilla was in the ambulance.
Does Adonis have? That's not a legitimate black eye, right? That's makeup.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like eye makeup.
To go with the Christmas bows in his hair.
Yes.
Oh, those I remember are hearing like the something. They started doing the makeup on him because he got into a fight with Dan Spivey, I think, backstage, and Spivey really potatoed him and gave him a black eye. So to cover up the black eye, they just put the makeup on him and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how true that is.
He's got to be gay. Give him a Christmas bow for his hair.
Yes.
It's all gay men wear.
Adonis, I thought, always looked like a blonde Joey Buttafuoco.
You know, you love the Buttafuoco stuff. I just listened to our Raw rewatch from like June or July. But, I mean, you're talking all about it.
It really plays here. I mean, come on.
All right, Aaron. JYD's mom or Adonis and drag?
What is that?
Okay, well, wait a minute.
Did that sign say something to fag JYD?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were ruthless with this. In the 80s, man, like not only the racism, but the homophobia stuff.
Mm-hmm. You would strong. Even hear it on TV, then, and they wouldn't.
They would acknowledge it.
Sense, yeah.
They'd laugh. They'd be like, "Oh, crowd, really get on Adonis here,
calling him a faggot." Yeah,
and nobody cared.
No, I mean, it's just what it was.
Yeah.
He had great leg warmers.
Well, it's going to happen again soon, apparently, with Kalisto, right?
Yes. It was Rico. That was only.
That's an interesting way to get tied up in the rope. See, like flipped backwards around, and then instead of like the usual, where they flop into the rope.
Oh, did he get himself
for
loose?
For a big guy? Adrian can move around.
Oh yeah, he can bump and move definitely. He's curious your thoughts on this, Raj, because he looks like a big fat slob, and then he starts working, and he's flies around.
Oh yeah, I always liked Adrian Adonis. Is he a? He's not around anymore, right?
No, he died in a car accident in like
88 or 87, right?
Yeah, 88 he died in Newfoundland. They were in a it was him and like three of the wrestlers in like a Volkswagen bug van or something, and it like skidded on ice or something in Nova Scotia or something, in Newfoundland.
And his last manager in the AWA was Mr. Paul Heyman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he went to AWA after he left.
Yeah, I knew that.
Soon after Mania 3.
I didn't know he managed him, though.
Yeah.
Big close-up of Adonis' dental work there that we didn't really need to see.
Get a lot of candy to get that fat.
Kane's not doing him any good.
I think the real question, Greenhouse, is who has bigger tits, Adonis or JYD's mom?
Yeah, but to your point, Jesse, I mean, he just got tossed out of the ring, you know, does the flip over the ropes.
Yeah, he was a great bumper, really great bumper.
He would bump around a lot like Bigelow for a big guy. Yeah. He was really good.
But, I mean, you figure back in the day when he was teaming with Jesse in AWA, he was never that big.
Go.
So
JYD,
and even with Dick Murdoch, he wasn't that big.
No. So he was naturally a good worker anyway. He just got... Right. He just got fat. Yeah.
But his bumping was always solid, but as he got fatter, it looked more effective because all the
shit moving around.
JYD doing like the fairy hand mannerisms here to really hammer this home. Guess we weren't sure enough already that
we're
supposed to think of Adonis.
Between that and all the lingo they used during the TB down.
It's amazing.
It's just one whole hour of non-political correctness.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, not Extra Point. We're talking Saturday Night's Main Event.
I don't see anybody with any Redskins garb on right now.
We'd be celebrating it if they did.
Wearing it.
Yes. So Jimmy Hart in the ring now. JYD's he's had his problems with Jimmy Hart on the... Oh, my Lord. I don't know how Jimmy Hart didn't die right there. Adonis, pancaked him the whole way over the rope. Ugly, ugly bump. Oof. Hebner back at it after getting tossed on that table before. I think he's reffed every match on this card.
Yeah, except for that boxing match. I think.
That's right.
It's been all Hebner.
Adonis, that was a nasty. That was a really nasty bump.
Can you get up, please? I can't breathe. Thank
you. I'll tell you, from a match quality perspective, this might be our best episode yet. I mean, of the five. Every one we've kind of had like a down match, but...
No, this is really pretty good.
Wow, what a mess.
I mean, I'm really digging this one. This might be my match of the night.
Yeah.
Let's see how it ends.
There's just no grace to Adonis's movement.
No. Well, there is.
Shame. And
that's what makes him even better.
I'd say it's graceful in a non-graceful way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's almost so ungraceful that it comes back and is full of grace.
Look, you either have grace or you don't have
tripped
grace.
Tripped up the right.
You can't have some grace.
Wow. Tying him down with the... with the streamers or whatever the fuck those things are.
Oh, if I was in the front row, I'd be yelling at Jimmy Hart right now.
You would be. This is morally wrong. You'd be yelling out, Adrian, be accepting of your lifestyle.
Would you be yelling at him using 1986 terms or 2015 terms?
Oh, Aaron would be so ahead of his time. Be accepting of your lifestyle. Don't listen to the fans.
You're a metrosexual. A metrosexual.
Jimmy gave him the finger there almost. Choking out JYD here. Whoa. Dave getting involved there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely very. Everybody brought their
you work. Just slap him in the back of the head.
I love Jimmy.
Jimmy had a nice little stable back then. He had the Funk Brothers, Adonis, the Hearts.
Definitely, even though Bobby might have been the more popular manager, Jimmy definitely had the better stable for a couple of years anyway. Probably wasn't until like late 88, early 89 that Bobby would end up having better, the better stable of guys. But Jimmy Hart was clearly the best in terms of...
And you can learn all about Jimmy Hart's stable of wrestlers on the first episode of Brainbuster, Place to Be Nation's one and only wrestling quiz show, hosted by Johnny Sara.
Yep.
Check it out. If you're into 70s and 80s cheesy game shows and wrestling trivia, that's the show for you.
How do you get on that show?
You got to just message Johnny Sara. He said anyone who asks can get on.
All right.
Or you have to win a trivia tournament to qualify.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Any trivia tournament after 2014 is eligible.
A little miscommunication. Jimmy was up with the megaphone. JYD whips Adonis into him.
That's
and that is it.
JYD
wins the match.
Oh, Adonis tried to kick out. You see that?
He did.
Don't see
he
that.
Made it.
You don't usually see that now. Where they
I love that spot.
With a kick out. It makes it more real. You know, it's like they don't have to be dead every time.
Oh, we back-to-back WrestleMania main events where it happened. Hogan did it to Warrior. And then Slaughter did it to Hogan. Mm.
Adonis nails JYD with the megaphone from behind.
You almost think they were setting this up for two as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, where does it come out of nowhere where he has to fight Uncle Elmer?
Oh, God.
Because God forbid a WrestleMania without hillbillies.
Two fat slobs going at it.
Oh, God. Terrible.
Yeah, this would have been a great blow-off, like in a dog collar match or something.
Yeah,
or...
I mean, it really went out. I really liked that match. I mean, I would watch that for another few more minutes. That was a good match.
Mm-hmm. Instead, JYD ends up being in that tag match. With didn't more of Jimmy Hart's crew.
Didn't these two fight at the Wrestling Classic?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think they were in the tournament, right? They were one of the matchups.
Roger, what's your take on this versus like the Raws we're watching in 93?
I mean, I like this better. Yeah, I'm a little more nostalgic about it. So, a big fan of the 80s stuff.
Hmm.
Wow. What a bump Jimmy took. Yes. I mean, you're right, JR. If Adrian Adonis falls funny... Fucking Jimmy's toast.
Yeah, he could have really crushed him.
I mean, that's
stuck in between.
Jimmy's down.
Oof.
I mean, if Jimmy doesn't flop over, he's toast.
So I don't think they did fight at the Classic. Adonis beat Kirchner and then lost
the
Dynamite.
Match, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. JYD defeated Iron Sheik, Moondog spots, and then fought Savage in the finals.
And Mean Gene's talking to one of the doctors at the hospital. Or the emergency trauma center, as they're calling it.
Can't call it a hospital.
I think he's asking if he can get a table at the Italian restaurant down the street. I say my finest table for you, Gene.
So Hogan's got a couple of broken ribs. He's injured his neck. They're going to run some more x-rays on him.
I hope he's going to be okay.
Mm. He may have to be stripped of the title. He may have to forfeit the belt, Raj.
It's tough.
It is
it's
tough.
Like what they did to Daniel Bryan, you know, just travesty.
It is.
I will say this, though. I mean, this episode, more than some of the other ones we watched, really flew by. I mean, it was nonstop, not a lot of fluff, all good matches, hot angles. I mean, they did a hell of a job this to set up, too, with this one.
Yeah, this has been the best episode so far, I think.
I agree.
That tag match was fantastic.
Yeah,
everything
really
was. I mean, even the boxing match, which you thought could have been a dog, I mean, it was pretty short, and then you had the
it
great
was short,
beatdown,
but then you had the aftermath, which was really cool.
I think it was better than the WrestleMania match, boxing match.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, this
it's better than the whole WrestleMania event.
Yeah, this whole hour was better than WrestleMania too.
That's true.
I'll tell you though, 2 is a show I liked it the most. I've seen it a bunch of times and I never liked it. And then when I watched the version on the network that had everything in it, like all the promos and everything, and when we did it for the Refresh series, I actually was the one time I enjoyed it the most was most recently. So I don't know if it's just I'm getting softer in my older age or what, but I didn't hate it as much as I usually do.
The only match that's grown on me over
that's
the years.
That's what
is
she said.
that the Tito and JYD against the Funk Brothers match is growing on me.
Yeah, I've always liked that one.
The matches I always loved on that show were the besides the cage was obviously Dream Team and the Bulldogs. But you know what's a good match? Hercules and Steamboat.
Yeah,
was always a pretty good match. That was always a good match.
With the exception of the Uncle Elmer Adonis match, the whole LA card was pretty good.
Yeah, the Long Island got fucked.
Yeah, Long Island got it
big time. Yeah. They got hooked. Chicago started shitty and then got good at the end.
Yeah, you had
LA.
The ladies match, but then you got the battle royal and you got the tag title match.
And you got the tag title. And then L.A., there really wasn't. Except for Uncle Elmer and Adonis, L.A. was was pretty awesome. But if you were at Nassau, boy, you got screwed.
All right, so that wraps this episode here. So why don't we do our awards and we'll take a break and we'll come back and kind of put a bow on things. So for the awards that we do on this show, we need to do the most 80s person, the most 80s hair, the most Federation year moment, match of the night, and then grade. So let's do match of the night first. Tough one because they're all pretty good. Hogan Morocco was solid. The tag match was very good. I'm going against the grain, though. I'm going JYD Adonis was my favorite. I liked all the stuff with Jimmy Hart. Some of the bumps were good, a lot of energy, and a pretty good finish. So that's my vote. Jason, what's yours?
I'm torn between that and the tag title match. I'm going to go with the tag title match.
All right, Aaron?
I'm going to go Hogan Morocco. I really liked watching Morocco.
Nice. G?
I'm going to go JYD Adonis. Nice. I like the way I like the with Jimmy Hart. I just thought their interaction, when they threw him over the top rope. So that's my vote.
Scott?
I got to go with Bulldogs and Dream Team. They hit the shit out of each other. I mean, they were definitely setting themselves up for something down the road. So I got to go with that. Although it's really hard. Every match was great.
All right, Rod, you're going to break the tie.
I hate to do this, but I was going to say Hogan Morocco.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? That's
all
right.
That would make it a three-way tie.
Let's do it, Scott. Mark it down. Because I think all three matches deserve to be recognized. So I'm kind of okay with it. I think it shows the balance of this card that we have six of us and we were able to all pick.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Definitely. Okay.
All right. Most 80s person.
Beefcake? Beefcake's pretty 80s.
You always get beefcake, all these rewards.
The EMTs with the mullets? No.
EMT.
That's good.
I kind of like Orton's.
That looks exactly like Orton's.
I kind of like Orton's perma mullet. I mean, the whole thing.
Orton with the cowboy hat and the boxing gloves on.
And the tassels.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also say them just for the whipping the African American man and it being okay. Like you could say the whole thing was like 80s race baiting throughout.
Most 1880s moment,
right? Yes. Actually, you know what? Orton should get most 80s hair, so he can't get both. So we're gonna give him most 80s hair. I think he had the most 80s hair.
Yeah,
and we'll give the casual racism best 80s. Is that it?
Casual racism, homophobia,
80s hair too.
Yes, most 80s person was all the casual homophobia and racism.
And we don't condone any of that.
T's candy cane robe was pretty 80s.
That's right, and we give it to that.
It felt more Christmassy than 80s.
80s Christmas.
80s Christmas. Yep.
Right. Most Federation years moment. At first, I was really ready to go with the attack on Hogan because we talked about how. Yeah, just how 80s and how old school that was. But I got to go with the Hogan video. To me, it was the most Federation years moment.
Oh, yeah. Real American.
Yeah, I agree.
Landslide.
Should we get an honorable mention, though, for Fuji Sick?
The water bottle. For the water bottle and Fuji's stomach.
Yes, that too. All right, G, final grade out of 10. You can do halves.
I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Wow.
Okay.
Aaron?
Because it's definitely the best so far.
I'll go 8, but I'll be honest, I have no context because I can't remember what we rated the last ones at all.
All the others we've graded between like these first three episodes, between like 4, 4.5, and 6. So nobody's graded anything higher than a 6 up to this point.
I'll go 8.5. 8.5.
Every match is great.
I'm going to go with G on this 9.5. I have very fond memories of this show, and just so much happened in the 1 hour that they had. Really, really good stuff.
Raj?
Yeah, 9 for me. All the matches were good, and you had Hogan's video. I mean, it's going to be tough to, since that's only a 9, I don't see what a 10 could be. there just weren't enough chicks. Chicks would have made it a 10.
Not the chicks from the 80s. That would not have helped. I'm going to go 8.5. Scott, how about you?
Fuck it. I'm giving it a 10.
A 10? So you're saying this is the perfect Saturday Night's main event?
To this point, this is the perfect Saturday Night's main event. Every match was awesome. Every match was important. We had Real American. There was nothing wrong with this episode whatsoever. Well, maybe except for the racism and the mask. It was all good.
This was the
all we needed was John Riggins, okay, with his jersey.
Adrian Peterson in a closet with a switch. You would have been good to go.
Pretty much.
This was the Gary Carter of Saturday night's main events. Absolutely.
That's right. Perfect.
All right. Well, with that, why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and we will wrap things up.
Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's main event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's main event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Parv. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscolo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast with Scott and Justin.
All right, Nation, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that rewatch of the March 1st, 86 episode of Saturday Night's Main Event. Mm-hmm. I want to direct you over to PlayStation.com, the Seinfeld series rewatch with my boy Aaron George. Not Jason Greenhouse, even though I always assume he's doing it. The movie, Season 4, Episode 15, with our buddy Patty Buckles stealing the show there. Scott, I had a piece up today, looking back 20 years ago this month.
Loved it.
Sid's return to Shawn Michaels' Bodyguard and kind of my discovery of insider news. So you heard us kind of offshoot of that and talk about it earlier in the episode here where we discussed kind of the evolution of being a wrestling fan. And it kind of came off of that article. So check that out. Let me know what you think. Glenn Butler started his trip through Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Similar to our Seinfeld rewatch, he's going to do every episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Started with Season 1, Episode 1 today, Emissary. So each and every Friday morning, Glenn Butler will have that for you. So if you're a Star Trek fan, check it out. Round 5 of the Greatest Song of the 90s tournament is complete. Both all four brackets had their matchups go up yesterday and today. So those will stay open through the weekend. So Monday, we're going to close those polls and move on to Round 6. So be sure to get your votes in now. So still some tight matchups, some big-time matchups. Ken, upsets happen. We'll see. November Rain going up against Alive. That's the biggest one.
That is a big one. So. And Dr. G, one of your favorite songs ever, Blind Melon No Rain, still in it.
Uh-oh.
Keep voting, fans.
All right, let's move on before Dr. G takes a big shit on it like he does everything else on these shows. The 90s makes fun of poor Marc Claire. Let's just keep moving on. Scott and I had our Vintage Vault refresh. Royal Rumble 1991 was up, of course. A big rumble there. You might have heard the podcast a couple weeks ago with Glenn and Ben and Reesh, and of course you can check out our written version here. PWSS Pro Wrestling Super Show had the top six title changes, hosted by Tim Livingston, stepping in for Stephen Graham, joined by Will and Chris Zellner, so be sure to check that out. New installment of the Sellers Points, breaking down Inhumans. Andrew Waltman had an advanced look at the movie Seventh Son. He got to go check it out as a screener version with a friend of his, so he talks about going to check it out. No spoilers in this, so this talks about the movie in general. Parv was back with The Sprouts, number 3, Man with a Movie Camera, The Warriors, and Despair. They took a look at three more films. It was a Parv and his buddies Adam and Dan, so be sure to check that out. Logan Sisko back with What the World Was Reading. I don't know if you guys have checked out this series where Logan pulls out a magazine from his collection and breaks it down. This is looking at Wow magazine from July of 99. So these are cool trips down memory lane. A new episode of The Extra Point, episode 33. Scott and Dr. G with us here. Of course, broke down the Super Bowl and looked at kind of the season in review, talked a little draft, and of course, kind of put a bow on the football season. So be sure to check that out. New installment of The Bauer Show as well, doing the same thing, talking about Tom Brady's legacy. Mark Clare with a great piece, breaking down number 25 to number 21 of the best matches of 2014. He'll be doing that, of course, right through number one. So be sure to stick with that series as well. So, PlaceToBeNation.com, only place to be in your pop culture world. Follow us on Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Twitter, place number two be nation as well. So that will do it for us here, guys. Any final thoughts on this Iron Man event and the build to WrestleMania 2?
I think the show was probably better than WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, they did everything perfect to build up the big show coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, and with this show too, it kind of baffles you a little why they didn't do like another JYD Adonis and stuff like that.
Yeah, they really seem to go away from some of the feuds they had set up. I don't know. It's like they were still teasing, wanting to have runs. It's like, you know, we talked about WrestleMania 1, wanting to do Tito Valentine. So it's still matches. It seemed like they were saving for the house show circuit, didn't want to maybe give it away on these shows. I'm not sure, but I think two, they seem a little bit better than one as far as like actually having the feuds blown off or have them here.
Right. And maybe, do you think maybe it had anything to do with too, like separating the stars and getting like because of the three cities?
I think that's...
Yeah, that could have been it.
Although JYD and Adonis were both in L.A., though.
Oh.
I mean, but they definitely took the three biggest feuds that we got out of this night. The tag, Hogan, Bundy, and obviously one of each of those went in each city. So that was easily set. But yeah, the JYD Adonis thing still boggles the mind. Although, again,
they could have done Tito and Funk straight up. You didn't really need Dory to fight. You could have done Tito and Terry and then dumped Uncle Elmer and done Adonis JYD in L.A.
Yeah, you really did.
I like Aaron's idea of doing the dog collar match with them. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
And
yeah.
Adonis could have the feathers on it and stuff.
That would have been awesome.
Leather collar.
With like the belt that Maria is carrying around in Ring of Honor right now.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. So, Scott, we're back next week, Monday night. We got the Kevin Kelly Show. I'll be Brian Blair on. Talk some Cauliflower Alley Club action. Kevin will be, we'll be talking a little Fast Lane. We'll be talking a little ROH like we always do, some trending topics, some Super Bowl. So check us out there. Some big things coming from the Kevin Kelly Show here at PTBN. Scott, what do we have for main event on a little early this week, right?
Yes, main event we're going to be recording on Tuesday, and we are going to preview NXT, the NXT show on Wednesday night. And we're going to break down, we did it with Vince's, so this time we'll break down Stone Cold's podcast with Triple H and kind of break down the topics and see what the guys think. So that'll be posted on Wednesday. So it'll be a day early to get you ready for the NXT show.
And then,
that's going to be a hell of a show too, fuck.
Yeah. So.
And then we're back Thursday night with our Nitro rewatch. So we'll have Glenn Butler, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and Will H. from PWO will be back with us as well. We'll be looking at, I think we're just post-Halloween Havoc now. So we'll look at those next two episodes coming off of Halloween Havoc. So that'll be Thursday evening. But then after next week, we'll be on the Monday-Friday schedule pretty much for good. So stick with us there. So, all right, we're done. So for Aaron George, for George Ribolino, Dr. G, for Jason Greenhouse, Roger Marcet, Scott, and myself, we will talk to you next week. Everyone have a great weekend. Take care. And check your bank accounts and give JYD's mom a call.
Cha-ching!
I would pay good money to see JYD's mom against Aaron in a dog collar match.
Dude, you know how quick that would degenerate to something much different?
As long as Ivan's involved, I'm fine.
That's man.
Complete with awesome blazer.
He's so
tag team of the year, buddy. Tag team of the year.
Ivan's so pretty.
I'm going to tell him you said that.
You can.
He's going to love it.
I think I told him to his face, I think.
Yeah. If you can get past those dashing looks. I saw my best friend tonight, so don't push me too far. I'm gonna run, come down with the new lyrics. Get hit, don't slip. Your knuckleheads, racism is schism. I'm on a serious tip. You don't believe me?
hard to climb. Rougher the rhythm and it must be sublime. Listen, you're the lover, yet him right on time. We got cricket with the quickness and the bass line. Bass line. Go and raid the town and tell the people the news. Oh, hey, tell them reggae music is on the loose. Here I am from the place where the sun keeps shining, new style and a unique fashion. And good goodbyes, they keep on playing, playing.
One shot for PC policy. Come, come, them a come with the rougher style. Come, come, me not care about your wicked style. Come, come, if it come with the wicked style. Them a fire one shot, pump, pump with the shot. Them a fire two shot, pump, pump, lick a shot. Them a fire three shot, pump, pump, lick a shot. Them not care about me rock,
rock, rock, rock.
Me no stop count to react me where they am. Who I launched, them attack me where they am. Me no stop count to react. Bigger, make up it, tell you about this wicked style. Give me a
people wanna come up and they wanna tell me smoking crack cocaine better than Simpson. You're popping that shit, Joe, we're sick of it. Tweaking every weekend and we just can't take it. Ooh, whoa.